but let me do what I believe the Lord wants me to, and you can relax. I'm not going off into anything. When I say that, let's stand together, if you would, please, for the reading Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Let's begin down at verse number 12 and finish the chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Verse number 15, the Bible said, "Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Keep your Bible open. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment of prayer. Then the message from the Word of God today. Our precious Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bow before you in prayer. Father, I do want to say thank you for the joy of salvation, the wonderful privilege, Lord, that we have had and enjoyed to be born in America, hear the gospel, be saved. Lord, we are called, can say, called to preach, put in the ministry and kept there, and blessed of the Lord as we've been. Thank you, our Father, for your blessings upon the service this week. And yea, Lord, even your blessings upon the service this morning. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Jimmy and the message he just brought. And I pray, dear Lord, you help us all to be aware of the fact that things will not always turn out like they look like they would. And Lord, you have a way of keeping us in darkness on some things that will eventually come around, dear Lord, to a manner that will be for our good and God's glory. Lord, I pray now that you'll help me these moments this morning, Lord, to say what I need to say. You do what you want to do. You help us and bless us and make us a blessing, dear Lord, in the Word of God this morning. And for what you do, Father, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory, because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the study of the Word of God today. Now, I'm smiling, so I want you to smile with me a minute, okay? I am going to deal with a statement for an introduction that every one of us have made. So I have too, Brother Ronnie. I'm not throwing any stones at anybody. But it's been bothering me. And again, preacher, you can relax. I'm not going to say the wrong thing, I don't think, here. But there's a common statement floating around that I want to deal with in just a moment. But before I do, I want you to look back at your Bible. And there's one word that appears three times in the last two verses of this chapter. The Bible said, "Meditate upon these things. Give," here it is, "thyself wholly to them." Look at verse number 15. "Take heed unto thyself." Again in verse number 16, that's verse 16, the last part of it said, "Save thyself." Now look at me a moment. There are three times in this passage where self is mentioned. Thyself. 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 He said, "Give thyself, take heed to thyself, and then save thyself." Now, here's the statement. I tell you, I've done killed this thing. Preacher, I got a bunch of suspense. We hear the statement made often. It could have been made here this week. I'm not sure, but I make it. I've heard it made, and it's been bothering me when I make it. There's a common statement made by preachers and by people in our Baptist churches on, "It's not about me." What's not about me? This meeting's not about me. Come on. Now, I know what we mean. Are you with me? I know what we mean. I know what we mean. You know, we can say this meeting's about the Lord. And it is. But we need some adjectives in there. That's about magnifying the Lord. Glorifying. It's not about glorifying me. But we ought to go to church believing this meeting is about me. I wonder sometimes if it's not a turnoff to people, we're going to have a revival and say, well, this revival's not about me. Well, why should I come if it's not about me? Why should I pray if it's not about me? Why should I care if it's not? Come on, come on. Now, don't die on me, please. I'm rebuking myself. Here's my burden. I want to say especially to young people and old people, and I want to say this to missionaries, I said to all of us. Life is about me. My life is about me. Now, what do I mean by that? Number one, nobody can be saved for me but me. If I'm not saved by the grace of God, I'm the one going to hell. Hey, that's about me. Are you following me now? Are you ready to loosen up now? Come with me. Young people, this matter of salvation is about you. Any unsaved people, I'm telling you, nobody, mother, daddy, brother, sister, preacher, nobody can be saved for you but you. Brother Allen testified a while ago, and the young people sing it. You know, we sing and shout on, I have decided to follow Jesus. That sounds like it's about me doing something. Y'all shout it while they're singing, and you're dying while I'm preaching it. Can I say this, preachers? The ministry that God's given me is about me. Brother Sexton, you cannot develop my ministry, and I shouldn't use it. We all understand that language, so mine is his. But James, I can't develop you. Whatever kind of preacher you become is about you doing something about it. Right. Am I right, Brother Ronnie? You set up under some good preacher in your life. Many of you have, just like myself. I can thank God for them. But no preacher can make me the preacher I ought to be. How much I know is determined by how much I'm willing to study and apply myself to the work of God. Now, my burden is this, and I want to, and right here, I want to say, I believe somehow or another, pastor, we ought to train every member and teach every member that every service we have is about them. And there's a purpose, they come. Every song that's sung, that may be the one God's got for me. Everything that's done, it may be a testimony. That testimony might be God ordered it for me. Separation is about me. I cannot be separated from no one else. Service is about me. You can't serve for me. Are you following what I'm thinking? I'm coming somewhere in the moonlight. I just want to make sure I got you going with me before I get there. Can I say to all you missionaries, but James, we're close enough, I think I can say this. Debitation for the Ruckman family is about you. Your behavior, your blessing. Amen. It's about us. You're not raising the support for me, are you? Are you following me? Are you following me? I'm telling you, missionaries, nobody can raise support for you but you. It's about you. Sure, it's about glorifying God. I know that. You know what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, we're kind of relieving folks or taking away from folks a responsibility that God wants them to have. Nobody can do my praying. Nobody can do my studying. If I am saved, I'm going to heaven. If I'm not saved, it's my fault. I'm going to hell. Nobody be saved for me. Nobody can share from it. Nobody can be separated from it. Nobody can surrender from it. Nobody can do anything for God's work about my own. It's up to you and I. It's really about me. You three boys can't go to heaven because daddy's a saved man and a preacher. Mama's a saved lady. Your children can't go. Are you following me now? Are you where I'm at now? It is really about me. Now, before you cut me off too much, let me just throw out a couple of scriptures. Can you remember David's prayer in Psalms 139? Search me. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me. You know, Shadrach is about him. I know we're to pray for everybody, but I'm going to tell you, I found out in these years of serving God, most of my praying is really all about me. I don't mean that preacher to magnify me, draw me. I'm just telling you, I have to focus on me, and nobody's going to do it for me like I need to do it my own self. Jabez said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, that your hand might be upon me, that it keep me from evil." And I remember when I first read that and noticed it in the Bible, I thought, man, that's selfish. And then I read the next line, and the Bible said God granted him everything he asked for. Now, here's a loaded statement, but I'm going to make it. You and I were standing at the judgment seat of Christ, having accomplished what we should have accomplished because we had a prayer life about ourselves, pleasing God. Or we'll face failure because we didn't take responsibility for our own prayer life. Preacher, I know you pray for your members, but they got to pray for themselves. You pray for the children, you've got to pray for themselves. So what I'm saying is, God said to some things here to Timothy about yourself. In the Word of God. Matter of fact, this word self is yourself. Thyself is mentioned. Yourself is mentioned 9 times in the 3 pastoral epistles. I think it's 6 in 1 Timothy, 2 in 2 Timothy, and 1 in the book of Titus. And I just thought about this morning, God challenging us on this. I'm just waiting a moment to say this. None of us are what we could be. None of us are what we should be. Now I want to ask the question and I'm going to answer it. Who do you reckon's to blame? Can I blame my wife for not being a better preacher? Better Christian? Can I blame my children? Can I blame my church? Can I blame my friends? Can I blame the grace of God for failing? Can I blame God for being unfair? The problem is, we are the product of taking seriously our Christian life and aware of the fact it's about me and God. It's about me and God. Maybe that's not good English, but you understand what I'm talking about. It's about me. What I have done and am doing myself determines a great deal of God's. I'm not robbing God of grace. I'm not robbing God of mercy. But I'm only talking about the consequence of success in our Christian life. And I thought about saying to the missionaries this morning, you don't ever have a haughty spirit or a selfish spirit in doing this. But at the same time, can I just say it this way? When you got out of bed this morning, or you went and went to bed last night, and you knew this service this morning, a week ago you knew you was coming to this meeting, you ought to be praying about God doing something in you and helping you get what you need out of this meeting to help you get where God wants you to do. And it just could be in this meeting, if you're not a missionary, you're not, it just might be in this meeting where God wants to speak to you. You ought to be praying, oh God, speak to me, speak to me, show me, show me, show me, show me. David said, search me. Peter said, save me. Moses said, show me. Isaiah said, send me. I don't want to rob God of any glory. Please, I pray I'm not robbing God of any glory. Brother Sexton, I was not born with the knowledge I have now of the Word of God. When I was 15 years old, our pastor at that time, it's a very rare situation, just a country church, but our pastor, preacher, he had two children that had leukemia. Same time. Back in those days, leukemia was basically death. I mean, there are some cures now, but basically death. And Jerry and Phyllis, son and daughter of Pastor Moore, they just start losing blood, you know, and one thing to do, go to the hospital and get a transfusion. But out of me being the song leader, for some reason, the deacons always put it on me to introduce the pastor. So they'd tell me, of course, we had no phone, but the pastor called one of the deacons and said, I got to take Jerry to the hospital. Won't be there this morning. I'm sending so-and-so to preach for me. And it was my job when I took the offering. You know what I done? Well, the ushers come. Emphasis on hanging my head. I couldn't look nobody in the face. And then when I got through that, I'd say, well, pray for the pastor and his family on the children's hospital, and brother so-and-so is here to preach for us. Come on, preach. And I did it like this. I've not always been what I meant today. That's what I'm trying to say to you. I want to give God glory. Everybody understand that? I give God all the glory that's due Him. But I'm not standing here this morning a product of God just making me, driving me, forcing me, compelling me. Are you understand what I'm saying? There's got to be that cooperation with the Spirit of God. There is some personal responsibility. We don't call ourselves. God calls us. I'm telling you, God don't want us to stay where we're at when He calls us. And God wants us to let Him do something and cooperate with God to get that done in our lives. Now, there's a lot of usages of the word thyself in the Word of God. I want to give you this just as an introduction. That other wasn't an introduction. That one on my notes. But I want to give you this introduction. God said to Isaiah, to Elijah, in chapter number 17, verse number 1, hide thyself. There's no substitute for hiding ourselves with God, especially in a time of crisis. It's amazing, preacher. The very next chapter, chapter 18, verse number, no, yep, chapter number 18, and verse number 4, chapter 17, verse 4, God said, hide yourself. Chapter 18, verse 1, God said, show thyself. Now, can I be honest with you? Most of us, our flesh, we like showing ourselves a whole lot more than we like hiding ourselves. But we're not ready to show ourselves until we hide ourselves. I'm not talking about show ourselves for some ego day. I'm talking about show ourselves for service. Get alone, hide before God before you stand before men. But in the book of the Timothy's, let's look this morning the Word of God, if you will, please. In chapter 3, verse number 16. Chapter number 3 of 1 Timothy. Let's get verse number 15. Paul writes all these things in chapter 2. He talks about the men praying. Chapter number 2, the last part of it, talks about the women and a lot of things about them. Chapter number 3, verses 1 through verse number 12. He talks about the qualification of the preacher and the deacon. And then he said in verse number 15 of chapter 3, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. How long has it been since we heard that preached out? How to behave. We must learn how to behave ourselves. I want to say to you missionaries, I say to all of us, if God's going to ever use us, we're going to be a blessing to people. There are really three things, I believe, Brother Sexton, that really will... I shouldn't put you on the spot. The three things that will come into focus on whether you support these missionaries this week or not. I should say four, I guess. Number one, I don't know what I'd order, but behavior. You're not going to take on missionaries that don't know how to behave in a church. I know children are children, but children need to be taught to behave as well. Number two, you might be influenced to take them on by the blessing they are. They touch your heart, they bless you. Number three, the burden. You see their burden. Not every missionary has the same delivery. Not every preacher has the same delivery. But if he's got a burden, that burden will ooze out and affect others. It's up to you personally. It's up to me personally to make sure my behavior is right. My burden's right. I'm a blessing. And the fourth one, which I didn't think I had to mention, but believe. Of course, our belief's got to be right. God wants every one of us to work on our behavior. How to behave ourselves. And now the truth is, nobody can behave for me. But me. And you can fake good behavior for a little while. But it's like the old red measles. It'll come out on your cure you want. I mean, it just won't behave thyself. Again, nobody can do that for you but you. So when I go to the house of God, it is about me behaving myself in a proper manner. Can I get an amen there? Number two, in chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself unto godliness. You know what that's saying? Work on our godliness. Exercise. Build up. You know what? Again, I make this statement. Nobody can do it but me. I must take the responsibility of becoming more godly. And I'm not excluding the grace of God and the work of God. I'm not going to say that. You know, I can say this to most people here this morning, including myself. We're just about as godly as we really want to be. None of us are as godly as we could be, but we are what we are because God worked in our heart and we cooperate with the Spirit of God and exercise ourselves unto godliness. Number three, look at chapter 4, verse number 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. Meditate. The expression there is in what we country folk know is an old cow chewing the cud. The cow goes out and eats the grass in the early morning with its dew on it and then goes about and lays in the shade when it gets hot and sits there and just bups it back up and chews and re-chews. Listen to me, one of the great sins of Christians of our day, we have lost the ministry of meditation. We rush in, we get it over with, we forget it, we go out and go on our way. Meditate. And then he said, meditate upon these things. And he said, give thyself completely. Here's a question I wish we could answer. What percentage of me is involved? What percentage of me is given to this thing of exercising myself? I can't do right for you. You can't do right for me. It's up. Are you with me? Yes, sir. And then number five, you find in verse number, He said, give thyself, that's number three. Number four, he said that we are to take heed, again in verse number 15, take heed, meditate upon these things. And then he said, verse 16, take heed unto thyself. Nobody can keep me clean and pure. I'm not excluding God. Now, y'all understand, I'm talking about a human being. But me, myself. It's about me. I cannot blame circumstances because God's grace is greater than circumstances. I cannot blame others because God's grace is sufficient. What I'm saying is, if I do not keep myself and meditate upon myself and keep myself, that here take heed to myself, then it's my fault. I was confronted this morning with the news of another tragedy in the ministry. It's almost at least every 2 weeks I run upon somebody saying, have you heard? No preacher has to fall. And I don't care how much we blame situations and circumstances and others, the bottom line is, men of God, if I fall, it's my fault. It's your fault. I said that statement many times, Brother Locker. I'd rather die in this pulpit, in this pastor and church, have the horrible responsibility of calling my wife and helping getting my body shipped back to Georgia. I'd rather do that than to sin against God and let God have to say, I'm through with you, you're on the shelf, I can use you no more. I'm saying to you, there is responsibility. I can't blame other preachers, I can't blame other people, I can't blame the church. Hey, it's about me keeping myself, taking heed to myself. And he even makes a statement in verse number 16, the latter part, save thyself. Many of our storms in our Christian life are self-made storms. He said, thou shalt save thyself and them that are with you. Nobody goes down but himself. You fail, somebody else will follow. Somebody else will fall with you. So he said, man, thou mayest know how to behave thyself. And then he said, exercise thyself. And then he said, give thyself wholly. Then he said, take heed to thyself. And then he said, save thyself. And then in chapter number 5, verse number 22, he said, lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partakers of other men's sin. Here it is. Keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. You know, I'm not changing our Bible, but could I paraphrase for just a moment two or three thoughts in our mountain language here in the Tennessee Hills? He said, watch out! Be on guard! Be careful! Is it not like our Lord would say later in 1 Peter chapter number 5, where he said, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, is walking about seeking him and devour. Hey, watch out! Keep thyself pure. I'd like to say to every young lady, unmarried lady in this building, and ever married lady, if you don't know any other verse of Scripture, learn those three verses and work on it the rest of your days. Keep thyself pure. I'd like to say to every man, married or single, man or boy, learn those three verses. Work on it the rest of their days. They've been greater preachers than Stinnett Blue will ever be that have fallen to impurity, to immorality. They've been greater pastors than Brother Sexton, greater preachers than any of these missionaries. It's about me. keeping myself. Are you with me? Are you following what I'm saying? I don't do it now as I used to. In my briefcase, I have a composition book. And I have hundreds of lists of preachers' names that I prayed for then. I pray for them in memory now in a different manner. Pray more for missionaries than I do other preachers now. But Brother Sexton, over in that composition book, wait, just hid over there, there's another list of preachers. You know who they are? Fallen preachers. Every once in a while I just sit down, Brother Trent, and I read down that list, Brother James, and I preach to them. I mean, I pray for them. You know what happens when I pray for them, Brother? But they preach to me. It's like I hear them say, Stennett, I used to stand where you did, where you do. Something happened to me. Stennett, be careful. Stennett, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. I'm telling you, and I know I'm making big statements, and God's listening, and God's grace is sufficient, but if I allow myself to go into impurity, I can't blame nobody but myself. You can either be a David or you can be a Joseph. First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5. First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 5. I'm over in Corinthians, my Bible flipped. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 5. And I probably need to read verse number 4 as well. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. And here it is, from such withdraw thyself. Now I want you to listen to me. I said to the missionaries, I said to all the preachers, I said to all those who are not preachers of any description, you can't run around with every Tom, Dick, and Harry that names Christianity and develop your Christian life like it ought to be. We don't look down our sanctimonious nose as a holier than thou, and we don't go around just, you know, making trash out of them. But I'm telling you, it's a great day when you learn. You stay with the Word of God, and the God of the Word will stay with you. I have a number of wonderful friends, close friends, some great friends. But our friendship ends when it comes severing my relationship with God and His Word. I'm not going to go with them and forsake God. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Bye. I've got to stay where God wants. I'm not being a smart-aleck. I don't have to have you, but I do have to have God. Don't take that out of context either. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I want to make two statements before I deal with this. I am fully aware of the fact, Pastor, that not all men are born with equal capabilities of grasping truth. I think I'm right to say this, Brother Lockhart. There are some people who just have better ability to dig out stuff than some of us do. It blesses me, and yet at the same time it kind of makes me feel embarrassed. But And what's why I have a young preacher come to me and say, now I know you've seen this years ago, but I just found this. Look at this. And Brother Ruckman, it's something I've never seen. That some people just have ability to dig out nuggets that all of us don't have. Come on, you can say amen. But if God calls a man to preach, God gives a person responsibility to teach in Sunday school. God will give you understanding and knowledge if you will pray and get in that book and study to show yourself approved unto God. I have in my notes in my lectures on young preachers, if you study to show yourself approved, God will honor you. And if you don't study, you'll show yourself. Period. All of us have room to grow. All of us have room to study. But here's what I want to say. You can get my outline book and preach them. You can hear somebody else preach something, say something. But I'm telling you, if we don't have some self-disciplined study, I like it when I get along with Him and God, the Holy Ghost, the teacher, the author of the book. I'm telling you, there's no substitute for study. You get in the Word of God, and the God of the Word will get in you. Study to show thyself approved unto God. And then come to Titus chapter number 2 for the final one. Titus chapter number 2. And I want you to look here at verse number 7. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The Bible said, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. I want to say this. You want to be respected, be respectable. You want to be looked up to, be an example. It bothers me, preacher. I'm not riding a hobby horse, but it bothers me at the people that excuse their failure because of something somebody else does or something somebody else says. God made us individuals. We're on a personal relationship with God. And God will develop us and make something out of us if we will give ourselves to it. As a preacher, as an evangelist. Evangelism is a whole lot harder on me personally, Brother Lockhart, than missions are. I guess it's just God working me out of evangelism into missions. But you know this truth, and I know this truth. But Ronnie, you know this truth. All you preachers about know this truth. Is a pastor don't have an evangelist keep coming back if there's not some fruit. If I were to go to mission conferences 2 or 3 times, Brother Sexton, it took down every year, you'd be hunting somebody else to come. Right? There is that fruit. That weight's there. But we can't blame others. We must take the responsibility ourselves. If I were a missionary and I could not get support, I wouldn't blame pastors. I'd start spiritually looking in the mirror. What's wrong? Is it my behavior? Is it my burden? Is it that I'm not a blessing? Why is it? You see, and I feel like I've done a horrible job getting this over, but each of us must assume responsibility for our own salvation, our own relationship with God, our walk with God, our knowledge of the Word of God, our capability of serving. It's there. We've got to grab it. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit and let God work it into our life. Brother Bud, what kind of quartet would it be that never practiced? You've got to work on, am I right? You've got to work on What kind of pianist would it be, sister, that never practiced? What kind of a person would it be, a preacher, who just always sit back and wait on somebody to ask me to come preach? Nothing wrong with preacher praying for open doors. Amen? There's nothing wrong with preacher praying for God to touch him and use him. What I'm saying is, and I've got to quote, what I'm saying is this, and preacher, I feel like I've stumbled through this. We all have great potential. I don't like this, but let me say it, Brother Sexton. In the work of a Christian, it's self-made in the sense that you've got to have a desire, you've got to pray, you've got to let God do it. God will use others, God does the work. Preacher, I understand that. But I'm telling you, I believe every member of this church can be the Christian they desire to be if they're willing to apply themselves and take responsibility. It's up to me to do something about my condition. I titled a message, I didn't even give a title, but What to Do About Yourself. Don't blame others. God's got what we need. Pray God make us usable. I remember as a young man, I was praying, oh God, use me. And an older preacher heard me and he said, son, if you'll get usable, God will wear you out. Rather rebuking, but it works. Not everybody will be an evangelist, not everybody will be on the road, but I'm telling you, God's got something for you. It's your responsibility. It's up to you to get yourself prepared to be used of God. I still pray. Say what you want to. I still pray about my preaching every day of my life. I still pray for God to open doors. I still pray. I still pray. I still pray. What are you going to do with yourself? I'm through, preacher. I'm through.